Hello, everyone. My name is Richard, and I'm one of the elder candidates at Symphony Church. Today, I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you all. We'll be reading Acts 11 today, and it is quite a long passage, so if you have your Bibles handy, you can open it up and follow along. Acts 11. Now, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter. Kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of God. Amen. Acts 11 gives us a kind of what happens next after Peter and the believers return from their encounter with Cornelius the centurion and his family and friends in Caesarea. If you didn't get a chance to listen to Friday's devotion by Dan, I encourage you to listen to it for a deeper dive at what happened during that amazing encounter. But even if you don't get the opportunity to, Peter recounts the sequence of events here in the passage. He talks about how God spoke to him in a strange vision or trance, where this large sheet came down from heaven with all sorts of clean and unclean animals. Despite Peter's initial resistance, God tells Peter that he can eat any of these animals because God has made them clean. Peter still wasn't sure what this vision meant, but just as his vision ended, the Holy Spirit tells him that there are some people who were looking for him, and that he should go with them, no questions asked, because God had sent them. At the same time, men from Caesarea, sent by Cornelius, show up at the house, telling him that Cornelius also had a vision from God, urging Peter to come speak to his household and friends. Now, Peter shows up at Cornelius' house and he realizes what God was saying to him all along, that every person who fears God, whether Jew or Gentile, is accepted by God. And as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all of Cornelius' household and friends. And this is where Acts 11 picks up the story. Word begins to spread amongst the believers throughout Judea that the Gentiles have also received the word of God. And today I want to focus on the different responses that the Jewish believers had after they caught wind of what had just happened. The first group are those from the Jewish Circumcision Party. This specific group of Jewish believers criticized Peter because he, as a Jew, had gone to an uncircumcised Gentile's house and ate with him and his household, something that was regarded as unacceptable and unlawful. Now, the stance that these believers held was well understood as lawful and correct practice at the time. And Peter himself said when he encountered Cornelius in Acts 10 that circumcised Jews were not to associate with anyone who was from another nation. However, Peter had received a new revelation from God in his vision, that salvation is no longer just for Jewish believers, but that it is now accessible to the Gentiles, people who were from other nations, previously on the outside looking in, who were considered outside the favor of God. When the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his household, it changed Peter's perspective completely. Anyone and everyone who has received the gift of faith upon hearing the good news is now part of God's family. And yet, instead of rejoicing, the circumcised believers were upset and critical at what Peter had done by sharing this good news to the Gentiles and for coming into fellowship with them. I think it can be easy for us to judge them for their response and focus on how wrong it was for them to think that only circumcised Jews were favored by God. But I think that if we're honest with ourselves, we do this too. Maybe not always overtly or consciously, but we too pass judgment on others who we think may not be deserving of receiving God's grace. This attitude can be directed at someone as close as a family or a friend, who has hurt us deeply, and in your heart of hearts, you may believe that they cannot and should not qualify to receive God's love. Or it can be directed at someone as distant as a complete stranger who does not share your political or ideological stances. Or it could be someone who does not act like you, talk like you, or look like you, and you feel uncomfortable that they could also be welcomed into God's family. Brothers and sisters, let us remember that we ourselves are the recipients of God's grace. We are the Gentiles who have received the Word of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, bringing us into God's family when we were once outside, looking in. When we really believe this, we should change our perspective on how the kingdom of God works and who is welcomed into that kingdom. God welcomes all who call upon his name and put their faith in Jesus. And so, if God gives the same gift to everyone who believes in him, who are we to stand in his way? Now, going on to the next part of the passage in verse 19, it says that after Stephen's martyrdom and the Roman persecution of believers, there were some believers who were scattered, and they continued to focus on sharing the good news only with Jews. But we also see that there was a second group of believers, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who had a different response. They go to Antioch and begin speaking to the Hellenists or the Greeks. And as they speak to the Greeks, many of them come to faith in the Lord, so much so that this news goes all the way back to Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch to confirm what they had been hearing. These believers took heed at what they had heard, and they began to take the good news to a whole new group of people. Even though it probably would have been easier for them to minister to Jews, I think that they understood that the heartbeat of God was to share the gospel with everyone. They understood that they should not stand in God's way, and instead should partner with God in his work among the Gentiles. The result? Even more people coming to know God. It says that after Barnabas arrived in Antioch and spoke, considerable numbers came to faith. My prayer is that this be the kind of attitude that we all adopt. Wherever and however God is moving, let's not stand in his way. Instead, let us respond to God's invitation for us to share his gospel to everyone, not just to those we are comfortable with. So how is God inviting you into his kingdom work? Perhaps you have a coworker or friend who is having a lot of questions about faith, religion, or the big questions of life. That's a prime example of God working in them. Your response? Go and invite them to Alpha or do a Bible study with them and investigate faith together. Or maybe God has opened your eyes to the brokenness of those living on the streets or battling an addiction. Go and partner with God at the Miracle Mile on Saturday mornings. Or perhaps he's impressing missions on your heart. Consider a short-term missions trip with Symphony this year. Or maybe even pray about offering a year of your life to serve God abroad as a one-year missionary intern. Whatever God may be asking you to do for his kingdom, let's not remain still. When the Jewish believers heard what God was doing through Peter's vision and revelation, they had a choice to make. Do we stay where we are, or do we act on what we have heard? My hope for us, brothers and sisters, is that we will act and partner with God, and that we can see how he will advance his kingdom. With that, let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Jesus, that though we were once separated from God, your blood brought us in, regardless of how far we were from you. And as recipients of this abundant love, help us, Lord, to see how you're drawing all sorts of people to yourself today, and encourage us to bear witness and testify of your good news to any and all who would hear. Remind us that no one is too far from the love of the Father. Embolden us to step out of what is comfortable and to step into what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you all have a blessed day today.